All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 44.
It's true, 44.
Even though Fantastic's trying to throw me off.
Well, that's what he does.
He just tries to make me look like an ass.
Well,
just
it's not hard.
Well, he's just never successful.
That's
what
true.
I was gonna say.
Nah, whatever.
So episode 44, Vincible.
That's very appropriate.
Vincible. Fantastic. Can you look up the definition of the word Vincible? V-I-N-C-I-B-L-E. And while we wait for that, we can welcome you to another thrilling episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Lots of stuff happening in the weeks upcoming.
Yes, busy, busy schedule ahead of us.
Lots of in-studio guests and lots of fun and surprises.
Yep.
And a couple of humongous events for this show.
Yeah, sure.
Toy Fair is next week.
It is. Very eager.
And Comic-Con.
2 weeks later.
And before Comic-Con, we have Monster Mania.
In between.
Right. So we don't know what we're going to get out of any of those. We presume a lot.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
That's the theory.
Fantastic. Got something?
Transfer complete.
Vincible means beatable or vanquishable.
Does it actually mean that, or are you just guessing?
It means susceptible to being defeated.
Good.
Okay.
And that, I think, accurately describes this episode.
We are susceptible to being defeated?
I'm already defeated by this.
I am defeated because I had to watch that Iron Man movie, which we're going to talk about later in the show.
Actually, you willingly watched that Iron Man movie.
I had to watch it.
None of us willingly watched it.
Yeah,
be irresponsible of us not to call a spade, as
hey
it were.
Hey, now.
Them not young, like that.
Them young college kids
you
in the news, they got in trouble for that.
No,
well,
but
speaking of the news, why don't we get right into the news?
Sure, what do you want to talk about?
I'm going to start right off with Daniel Radcliffe.
I knew you were going there.
Daniel Radcliffe. Radcliffe. Is going to be starring in Equus in London.
That's right.
It's a play, something with horses. I really don't know what Equus is, to believe it or not.
I believe it has something to do with a young boy who is mentally disturbed that has a bizarre fascination and obsession with horses, so much to the fact that I believe he pleasures himself to the horses. He doesn't pleasure the horse.
Okay, slow down.
He doesn't fuck the horse.
Okay, slow
he just
down.
Jacks it.
Slow down. Why don't we start by having Fantastic? Why don't you Google or Wikipedia or whatever it is that you do, find Equus, and let's maybe let him tell us what it really means, because that can't be what this play is about.
Are you ready?
Okay, I'm a little disturbed already by what we've already been guessing at, but go ahead, what does it say?
I'm going to read what the geniuses who put together the Wikipedia entry have written here.
Okay.
As the play opens, 17-year-old Alan Strang is brought to a mental health facility for treatment by Dr. Martin Dysart, a psychiatrist. Alan's crime, blinding 6 horses with a spike. The boy, who worked part-time in the stables where the attack occurred, would take a certain horse out for occasional rides. Those jaunts functioned as the set piece for an elaborate ritual of exaltation constructed by his anguished psyche. Do you want me to go on?
Yeah, so far you got a kid who blinds horses. You're not really
excited. Delving into Alan's tormented mind causes Dysart to confront his own spiritual atrophy, the result of a modern consumer culture that tolerates only enervated, I don't even know what this word is, enervated conformity. The boy, this is just fucking terrible. So what do you want to say about this?
I want to say that Daniel Radcliffe will be apparently playing the disturbed young man in the production, which opens February 27th in London.
Yes.
Daniel Radcliffe, as we know, Harry Potter.
So if you'd like to see his wand, jump on the closest plane.
Apparently, this role does require full frontal nudity.
It does require full frontal
nudity. So Harry's wand will be visible.
Expecto Patronus.
Wow. All right. Please, God, say you have something better than that.
Well, we have some updates and corrections.
Oh, good. Nothing like us being wrong.
So, multiple times last week, episode 43 of Geek Stuff, we referred to Mouse Guard and the studio it coming from.
Oh, yeah. That was really bad.
Being Arcana.
Right.
Which is not the case.
Mouse Guard, a very exciting book, something that Matt and I have enjoyed and are continuing to enjoy and will continue to enjoy. Issue came out last week, and we said that it had come from Arcana Studios, when in fact it was Arcaya Studios.
Right. It was a little oopsie on our
little
part.
Little tiny oopsie. So Arcaya Studios, it's Arcaya Studios Press. I think if you Google it, you can get to their website. If you Google Mouse Guard, you can get there also, mm-hmm. I think. So our apologies to Arcaya, and Arcana Studios owes us like 85 cents.
Right.
So, yeah. And if you, like we said last week, and we'll say it again, if you haven't checked out Mouse Guard, you should. And I would like to say, in the upcoming weeks, the author and artist of Mouse Guard on this program.
Excellent. Look forward to that very much.
So. I had a communique with him.
Ooh. Ooh, look at you.
And he's very excited to do the show.
We also have a correction on a correction.
Yeah, now this one's kind of... I'm still debating this one.
Okay.
This is going to be me and Starman going toe-to-toe.
I don't think that.
Someone, of course, is going to definitively answer this question by sending us a picture of them holding up the page
yeah,
and the issue.
Exactly.
In the Justice League series that came out in the 80s, one of the funniest... Arguably one of the funniest comic books ever, I think. Guy Gardner has had enough of Batman's guff, and Batman lays him out with one punch.
Right.
Unconscious, one punch. It's a funny thing. It actually turns into a sight gag where Blue Beetle just giggles through the whole episode, one punch. Just yeah. Like, one punch, one punch. Like, he just giggles. It's really funny. And... there is some debate as to what issue that was. Now, initially, I think we had alluded to the fact that it might have been the first issue.
Right.
Which I thought it was. But I wasn't sure about that until I started editing that episode where we had said that 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And then I found out that it was a different issue. Now, Starman, our buddy Starman, wrote in and told us that it was, in fact, issue...
3, I think.
Did he say 3?
Yeah, actually, I think... Did you say 3 and he said 1, or you said 1 and he said 3?
I think I said 1 and he said 3.
One of them. Apparently, neither of those are correct.
Yeah, because now we're getting a communique from another person who says that it was issue 5.
I don't know.
So, I'm a little confused.
My guess is that this time next week, I will be reporting it's issue 7.
It may be. I don't think I have... I'm trying to think if I have the trade of that book, because I'm pretty sure I don't have the individual issues anymore.
Well...
I think that was one of those series that kind of went out of my collection when it got awful. But anyway, if you have any further information on what issue of Justice League Guy Gardner was laid out by Batman with one punch, don't hesitate to go right over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and drop us a line. And you can always do that on the forums as well. We'll start a string on the forums. What episode or what issue of Justice League did Gardner get laid out by Batman? Fantastic, something?
A string. We're going to start a string.
Is it a string?
It won't be a thread.
A thread? Well, it'll actually be much thicker and with more substance than a thread. Fantastic. And so I'll say we'll start a string. Good. A rope. A twine.
I'm going to say that hobbits actually do exist.
Okay, why are you going to say that?
Have you read this in the news? You've read this, right, Fantastic? Did you see this news story that popped up on AOL News, Yahoo News? I think it even was on MSN News and all that stuff.
I saw it.
Some guy, do you remember where it was, where they found this skull?
No.
They found a skull, and they thought it was for, I don't know, it was a midget, but a smaller person. It was like a little tiny skull. And then I guess through research and stuff like that, they found out that it actually was another variation of Homo erectus. And they're actually referring to it as a hobbit. That's what they're calling it.
That's interesting.
So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Hobbits do exist.
Hobbits do exist.
Except we'll never see a film with that title.
No, and you can thank New Line for that. Production company.
Is there any word on new word?
No.
Last
updates.
Word I heard is that Peter Jackson will never work for New Line again.
Yeah,
ever.
It's just at this point, it's really just a big FU back and forth. I think. So
oh, good.
We'll have to wait. Hopefully, New
and
Line.
And who gets the FU?
The fans.
The fans.
Production company IG, which is an animation production company, is going forward with a new Ghost in the Shell movie project.
Okay.
Which I'm pretty excited about. I was a big fan of the original comic series.
Okay.
I did enjoy the original movie. I haven't seen any of the subsequent stuff, but it'll be interesting. I'm going to look forward to following it at the very least and see what comes out of it. But
will this be chronologically number 3?
Well, I don't know. I don't know where it's going to stand in the...
I don't know much about this anime that you speak of.
Anime in general or Ghost in the Shell?
Anime in general.
No, it's true, you don't. I don't really know that much about it either.
I really am limited in my anime knowledge. I like very few things.
You do. You're picky, but that's okay.
I like, let's see. I like...
Akira.
Akira, because who wouldn't?
Right.
I like Princess Mononoke.
And anything else that Miyazaki puts out?
No, that's not true, because I don't like any other Miyazaki.
Really?
None.
I know you didn't like Spirited Away, but...
I didn't like Spirited Away. I did like Grave of the Fireflies. I think that's Miyazaki. Or it's definitely that studio.
Yeah, I don't think it was Miyazaki.
And as far as series goes, I like Battle of the Planets,
right.
Also known as Gatchaman. I like Star Blazers, also known as Battleship Yamato. I like, what's that one that I just got recently into, but I haven't even cracked a single one. No, what's it called? Last Exile.
Oh, Last Exile. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty good. There's another flick called Metropolis.
Right.
That I really dig.
Right.
And.
Well, think about it this way. If you can waste an hour and 20 minutes to watch that Iron Man film, there's got to be some anime you could pick up that's.
I guess.
That runs at least that.
Stop teasing it. That's a segment for later.
I'm sorry. All right. Moving away from Ghost in the Shell, but sticking in the realm of animated films.
Oh, good.
Turtles. More Turtles news and updates.
Oh, good.
A little bit, some plot spoilers, I guess.
Do we have a opener for this yet?
No.
Okay.
And we're not going to because it opens in like a month. It's like the first weekend in March, I think it opens. So.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know this already, Shredder is not going to be in the film.
What?
He plays no role in the film at all.
Yeah, now why is, do we know something about that? Is he dead?
No, he's not dead. Actually, this is pre-Shredder. They're like teenagers. The foot soldiers are in it, but Shredder isn't. Shredder apparently is being held off until the sequel. They're already planning a trilogy like they do these things.
Wait,
everything.
Wait. Slow down.
Wow.
So basically, this is kind of like, what, Turtles Year One?
I guess that they're supposed to be younger, and it's supposed to be more focused on their teenage years.
But Shredder was part of that. Fuck, they're called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What are they, 13?
I don't know.
No, I think they were like 19.
Yeah. I'm upset.
Okay, well, I don't...
But the foot soldiers are in it, but the leader of the Foot Clan isn't.
Well, you know what? They're saving them. That's okay. Do we need to see Shredder again?
And it's some girl who's leading them, right?
Yes.
Now, do we know anything about her?
No. But
she looks hot.
She kind of looks like April O'Neil, only with more armor.
Okay.
What we do know, though, is one of the plot spoilers is that Raff actually has an alter ego for a portion of the movie.
Yes, and actually, Matt, coincidentally, as you bring that up, I would like to direct Mr. Fantastic to reach into the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive. Could you reach into the archive there on the end to your left, and could you hand me that box? It's always nice, Matt, that we can reach into the product archive to back up what we're talking about in the news. And I happen to be holding a toy of Raph's alter ego right here. He is called... is this a spoiler? Wait.
Attention. The following information is considered spoiler material.
Okay, there's the spoiler alert. So just in case you don't want to know anything. And actually, I'm holding it right here. The Night Watcher and his motorcycle. Night Watcher Stunt Rider.
Right.
From Playmates. It's part of the new Movie Turtles line. Which, by the way, Fantastic will back me up on this. They are selling out all over the place, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
These new Movie Turtles. Fantastic. What was your research about that?
No, I walk into Target every once in a while and walk that particular toy aisle that has the young men's toys in it. And I noticed that they had the Movie Turtles next to the animated turtles that's going on right now. And the line that you're holding in your hand is gone.
Line.
It's about 2 weeks. Gone.
Gone. Anyway, the Night Watcher, who it says on the back here, who is the mysterious Night Watcher and why is he kicking so much criminal butt? Riding the city's darkened streets on his tricked-out bike, the Night Watcher zooms after local thugs and dishes out his own brand of justice. He's rough, he's tough, he takes no guff. He's the Night Watcher. But what's his connection to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Only time will tell.
Or I'll tell.
And that time is now.
So the film starts off with Leo not being around. Leo has left the other three turtles and Splinter behind to go on a soul-searching quest. And in South America. And while he's gone, Splinter decides to put the rest of the turtles on hold since Leo is the leader of the group. Raff, always being at odds with Leo, doesn't like this, doesn't like the fact that they're not out there doing their thing, and decides to take it upon himself to create this alter ego and go out and continue to fight crime, as it were. Well, Leo comes back, and the first thing Leo decides to do? This Night Watcher guy's a problem. He's a loose cannon. We gotta put him down. Chaos and drama ensues.
It's very exciting. And, you know, it's a really, it's a well-designed character. It's a well-designed toy. And I recommend that everybody check out the new movie line.
Right.
And I'm looking forward now to seeing the movie because the designs on the toys are really, really well done.
You know what you will not see in the movie, though? You will not see any...
Shredder?
You will not see any throwing stars. And you will not see Michelangelo actually use his nunchucks at all.
Get out of here.
Nope. Do you know why?
Why?
Because they're Imagi, illegal in some countries.
Imagi, the studio, or Imagi, or Imagi, however you pronounce it, this company that's producing it is a UK-based company.
Uh-huh.
And both of those weapons are highly illegal in the UK, you're not allowed to show them on the screen in a PG movie.
Really?
And since they were given the order that they have to produce a PG film, they can't actually show it. It doesn't mean he doesn't have them.
Right.
They're just not going to actually show him using them. It's going to be alluded to the
fact
that
he's going to use like a yo-yo and a bedpan and like all other weapons.
I hope they make some joke in the movie about how stupid it is that they're illegal to show them.
Well,
yet a guy carrying a katana or two is fine.
Exactly. I don't know.
Dumb.
But
you want to know what's really funny about that? The Playmates, what you would call the role play accessories. Yeah. Where you get the face mask bandana and you get the weapon, you get nunchucks and stars with the round thing on the end.
Well, I have two things to say about that.
Okay.
First off, again, he's not going to not have them in the film. He's just not going to, you're not going to see him use them. So it makes sense for them to still be in there. And Playmates, I believe, is an American-based company. And obviously such silliness does not apply here.
Right.
And so putting it in an American product. But I'd be interested to see if there was a UK version of that set that does not have them in it.
What's also dumb is it's a CGI movie. They can model a friggin' real nunchuck and have him use it, then, you know, they could just re-render it.
I think the problem is with the rating. If the movie was PG-13, then they could use it. They say that they're going to go for a PG-13 in the second film.
Fantastic. So, really upset about
it's something to be upset about.
Yeah, you can't change fundamental things like this. Yeah, like, their weapons is what define the turtles.
Turtles are actually sacred in some countries, so it's actually going to be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Wombats in certain countries.
I believe they couldn't call them ninjas in the UK. I remember in the old Nintendo version of the game, I think it's Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles is the name of the game.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
And that's the name of the turtles, I swear to you.
Well, some of that might have... become, I guess, a little bit more lax, but definitely nunchucks and throwing stars out.
I find this racist. Like, ninjas and ninja culture and weapons is just outlawed.
Wow.
Yes, it's very racist. Wow. Fantastic. Maybe you can
tell
us.
The ninja race.
Fantastic. Why don't you tell us why you think it's racist?
And now, here's Mr. Fantastic with It's News to Him.
Ninjas are from Japan. Am I right about this? Outlawing ninjas could be outlawing mainly Japanese people. That's it, babe.
I'm Mr. Fantastic, and that's news to me.
And that's news to him. Very good. Matt, very good, Fantastic.
Matt. Help me out here.
I can barely help myself.
Help us all out.
Well, speaking of animated films, I have some news, Matt.
Do you?
Yes, next week, coming to DVD, Hellboy animated first feature, Sword of Storms.
Yep.
Will be hitting us right in the eye. We're actually going to be able to talk about that one next week on the show. But if you haven't seen it yet, it is awesome.
It is.
And you should immediately, on February 6th, you should run out and pick it up. Hellboy animated Sword of Storms on DVD.
And while you're picking up your animated Sword of Storms Hellboy film, you should be sure to also grab the Amazing Screw-On Head DVD that's coming out.
The Amazing Screw-On Head DVD also comes. Does it come out the same day?
They do come out the same day.
Kind of makes sense. Both created by Mike Mignola. Screw-On Head, Little Silly, stars the voices of Paul Giamatti.
Mm-hmm.
And
David Hyde Pierce.
David Hyde Pierce and Molly Shannon. It's very funny. The trailer for it is very funny. So hopefully this will catapult this into a regular series, much in the way that that I think Hellboy is going to now be a regular series.
Yes.
That's what I keep hearing.
Yes. And I should mention, too, if you don't know this already, that in the Hellboy animated series, it does have the voice work of Ron Perlman, Selma Blair, and Doug Jones.
Oh.
I guess Doug actually finally gets to do a little Abe.
Wait, perhaps. Doug is doing the voice of Abe Sapien?
Well, his name is prominently displayed on the front of the box, along with Hellboy, Abe Sapien, and Liz. So I'm guessing he's doing the voice of Abe.
Wow. Maybe he does a killer David Hyde Pierce impression.
I do not know. It's odd, though, that they got David Hyde Pierce to do Screw-On Head, but not Hellboy.
Maybe he could only commit
to one
little thing.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
300 is coming out in a few weeks, as most of you know. We're all eagerly anticipating this film.
And that's an understatement.
And it's also going to be appearing on the IMAX now, they have announced. So some people are jazzed about that. Some people not as much.
I don't dig it.
I'm jazzed. I think it looks awesome.
I'm jazzed about the film.
That it's coming out. I don't really care about it coming out on IMAX.
Oh, IMAX, I couldn't give a shit.
Isn't the format of IMAX different? Haven't we talked about this? The format of IMAX is more square so that some clipping does occur?
Yes, I believe that is the case.
See, so would you rather see the entire full 35 millimeter film or frame as opposed to, you know, at a regular size theater, as opposed to seeing it 40 stories tall but clipped on the sides?
Well, the concern is with a movie like this, I'm guessing that some of the epic battle type sequences are going to be pretty prominent, and it's going to be clipped and cut, and, you know, that's never any good.
I want to bounce back to Hellboy Animated, if I could, for one second.
Sure, why not?
And tell you that today, Hellboy Animated released their first comic book.
Okay.
And it's Hellboy. I don't know if this is the first one or not. I probably shouldn't say that it's the first, but it's a Hellboy Animated in the digest format.
Right.
Hellboy Animated, The Black Wedding.
And who is the creative team behind this lovely little book?
It's Jim Pesco.
Okay.
Who's done Kim Possible,
right,
and Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
right,
stuff. And the Hellboy animated co-creator Tad Stones.
Okay.
Art by Rick Lacey, who did The Venture Brothers. And Fabio Laguna, who did work on X-Men Unlimited.
Okay.
And there's also a pinup by Mike Mignola in here. It's just another great, you know, at this point, if you're not a Hellboy fan, you're living under a rock.
Sure.
You don't know who Hellboy is, you're living under that same rock.
Okay.
And it's just exploding now with the animated stuff. And I mean, this franchise just gets bigger and bigger. And I'm telling you, every bit of it is just as exciting as the last.
Hellboy 2, pre-production right now. Filming begins in August, I believe.
So to sum up, we like Hellboy.
We do. It's true.
Enough Hellboy news. Let's get on and away from stupid Hellboy already.
I have some toy-related news.
Oh, really?
McFarlane picked up a license to do The Grinch, a line of toys, or my guess would be dioramas, probably, based on The Grinch.
Probably much...
The animated Grinch,
right.
Not the live action.
Probably much like the ones they did for Hanna-Barbera.
I'm guessing, yes.
Which, by the way, I gotta have that Johnny Quest one.
Oh, yeah. I have the Hong Kong Fooey. That's the one that I really
want. I want them all, but I got to have that Johnny Quest one.
He's easy to come by.
Is he?
You can find him, yeah. Two scales, a 3 and a 6-inch scale. And I tentatively somewhere between 6 and 8 different pieces announced, but we're not really sure 100% what they're going to be yet.
And what are we looking at? Fall, Christmas time next year?
You know what? McFarlane is like... they've become like a well-oiled machine over there. So if they start working on it now, they haven't released any product images yet, which is
right.
Very unlike them when they do a press release. So they must have really just picked this up.
Right.
I'm guessing you're going to see it in time for Christmas, October, November.
Well, the 24 box set, the first of the Jack Bauer figures planned from McFarlane, will be coming out in August.
Yeah, so.
And we already have an image of that piece.
Right.
And then there's going to be a second one, which also features Jack Bauer, that will come out in December.
Okay.
So they're planning far enough ahead for that
right.
to be a reality, I suppose.
Sure. Mezco has picked up a license to do Underdog figures. Some of you may or may not know that Disney is doing a film version of Underdog. Looks like it's going to be, I think it's going to be not CGI, not animated. It's going to be live action. Underdog, much like they did Inspector Gadget.
Oh,
I heard Nazi GI.
Okay, really?
All right, I'm sorry. Keep going.
You mean
sorry.
Not CGI?
Oh,
right?
That's what I heard. Look, he heard it too.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Not
live
CGI.
Action.
It's live action. Mezco has picked up a license to do figures based on the original animated series.
Oh, thank God.
There are 6 figures planned in the first. Oh, I'm not sorry. Not 6. There are 4 figures planned in the first series.
Uh-huh.
They would be Polly Purebred, Underdog, Simon Bar Sinister, and Riff Raff.
Well, that's very exciting. Underdog, of course, is an age-old cartoon.
And
one of the
beloved.
It is. I can't believe they're going to try to do a live-action one. That's so
that's
stupid.
Disney for you.
I hope he's going to have the little ring where he takes out the pill that makes him Underdog.
I'm sure. I'm sure they got to
work
all that into
Underdog is purely drug. He's nothing but drugs.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
pretty much.
That's how he gets his powers. He opens the little ring and eats the pill, and he becomes drugged.
And they're going to do this, but you can't fucking use nunchucks?
That's the UK.
This is the theme for tonight.
No, seriously, can I for a second?
Yeah.
Upon the Turtles' first arrival in the UK, the name was changed to Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, since local censorship police policies deem the word ninja to have excessively violent connotations for a children's program.
He's really
consequently,
upset.
Everything related to the Turtles had to be renamed before being released in the UK. Then they give an example about how the lyrics were changed from ninja to the word fighting teens, which I find more violent than the word ninja, since it means fighting. These policies also had other effects, such as removing Mike's nunchucks, which were at the time banned from even appearing in 18-rated movies. Age 18 rated movies, and generally toning down the usage of all the Turtles' weapons. After many seasons of never using the nunchucks, they eventually disappeared entirely, replaced by a turtle shell shaped grappling hook called the Turtle Line.
I don't remember the grappling line at all.
I must have been done watching the Turtles at that point.
Was that
what
the
Europe? Fuck!
Is that the European version?
Wow, that's the most emotion I've seen out of him in 44 episodes. Jeez.
He's got the rage.
He does have the rage. My God.
And it goes on to say that even though the law was changed in 2003, it looks like, from over here, they still go along with a custom of just not letting Mike use the nunchucks.
Just silly.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay.
No, it's okay, Mr. Rage-tastic.
Oof. A little hot in here suddenly.
Somebody's been hitting the creatine.
So, what's going on in the news, guys?
Wow. Diamond Select sent out two press releases this week. The first one is that they're going to be doing a Marvel Milestones Zombie Spider-Man and Mary Jane statue.
Yes.
Have you seen the pictures of this thing?
Yes.
It looks awesome, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I like it a lot, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's awful.
Really?
The whole Marvel zombie concept is stupid.
I like it.
Stupid.
I like it.
And now they're going to bring Ash into it?
Yes.
Stupid.
That is questionable. I agree with you. But I really like the way this statue looks. But
what was the second press release? Because
that they have an exclusive for New York Comic Con.
Yes, I heard this.
It's a Star Trek figure. It is from Nemesis, Geordi LaForge.
Yes. That would be Geordi with the eyes.
Yes.
From the last, I think that was the last one, Nemesis, the last picture. And where he actually got rid of the girl's hairband clippy visor thing.
Right.
And actually had eye implants.
Right.
Wow, that's exciting. And that's the exclusive. That's the exciting exclusive from Diamond.
From Diamond.
That's cool. Star Trek fans will dig it,
I guess. You know what? Actually, what makes me excited about this is that New York Comic Con is really becoming big. I mean, they're talking about this year it's going to be double the size it was last year.
Right.
Last year it was a great show, don't get me wrong, but it felt like a very young, immature show.
Right.
There were things about it that you can just feel. But, you know, companies signing up with exclusives.
Right.
I really think it's going to grow into something awesome on the East Coast.
That's
and
great.
It's about time that we had something like
true.
That on
we
the
need
East Coast.
It.
We really do need that for this market.
And speaking of things that are big on the
East Coast.
What?
I know where you're going with this.
But why can't we start?
No.
Behave. But we own the website.
Doesn't matter. Behave.
Well, you know what? Since we're not speaking of that topic, I think we should switch to an entirely different topic.
Okay, what's that?
I have something for you.
Yeah, what's that?
It's here in the room.
Okay.
In the studio. And I have purposefully hidden it.
Okay.
Because I didn't want you to even get wind of it, because I want your natural reaction on the show.
All right.
I'm going to ask, we have a couple of in-studio guests tonight.
We do.
The bad Mother Canucker is here to do his segment later on, as well as our pal Lucky. Actually, bad Mother Canucker is closer. So I'm going to ask you and Matt to close your eyes.
Oh, all right.
And put out your hands. I'm going to ask the bad Mother Canucker to go to the big in-studio screen. And behind the big in-studio screen, other side. Behind the screen, you'll see a box. You see it up there? Can you reach it?
Look at him trying not to knock things over.
He's being okay, very good.
I'm
very
afraid.
Good. What I need you to do, Matt, is to sit up straight.
Okay.
And I need you to put out your hands, because I want natural reaction from this product. Don't let it squiggle.
Relax your sphincter.
Don't let it squiggle. Okay? Bad Mother Canucker, if you would place it in his hand.
Ew.
Now, don't look yet. Don't look yet. Now, I want you to know that I've gotten you this very rare item.
All right.
And you, of course, will be paying me for it.
Of course.
Now, here comes the natural reaction. Go ahead.
Nice. Dark Horse, right?
Yeah.
Where did you get it?
No, never mind where I got it.
I'm opening it, I hope.
Never mind where he got it. Now pay up.
What Matt is holding is something we're both very excited
very
about.
Very excited about.
The Serenity ornament has finally
arrived.
Come to us. Yes. This is from Firefly, and it is the Serenity, the ship in Firefly. They've done an ornament. Now, to call it an ornament, I mean, what I'm saying here is they must have had some sort of license agreement that said they could only do it if it was an ornament.
Right.
But, of course, the way to hang it is, of course, removable, and it has a stand that it's able to stand on.
Oh, it does come with a little stand and everything?
And it's, yes, go on. It's go just ahead, open time it. For we're all Christmas. Listening.
I'm just opening.
It's a little late for Christmas.
It is a little
yes.
late for There's Christmas.
You're telling me a Christmas ornament is coming out of that box?
It just says ornament.
Yeah, it just says ornament. It does not say Christmas ornament. It just says ornament.
And there it is.
Wow. It's a nice little reproduction, too.
It is. It's a good chunky size. What'd you call that? Four or five inches?
Yeah, definitely.
And
the base is really nice, too. Heavy.
I know. It's a good solid piece.
Licensed by Universal and everything.
What's it made out of?
Plastic.
He's tapping it.
It is. It's plastic. It's not. I mean, the base is like.
The paint job, at least from over here, looks pretty good.
They've really done. I'm sure this has something to do with the fact that this is the only, at the time, probably the only piece that they could produce is if they could called it an ornament. Now, since then, I think Dark Horse's Serenity of Firefly license has increased because now we
significantly.
Have. PVC sets coming. Mm-hmm. We have
a statue coming as well.
We have another ship and a statue coming as well. I don't think this is the statue Dark Horse?
I don't know.
Fantastic.
What?
Could you please Google River and the Reavers?
That's really nice.
And see if you can tell us who the manufacturer is. And while Fantastic does that, I would like to make a huge announcement about Firefly and Serenity that has to do with us right now. And here it is.
Good. I hope you choke.
All right, I'll wait. Fantastic. Fantastic. You got something there?
Computing.
Computing.
Okay. So, Matt, are you very excited about
your very excited.
Your little gift, and by gift I mean you have to pay me.
Yeah, exactly. No, I am. I seriously am very excited. This is an awesome piece. And again, just happy to see that they're putting something out. That product is being released to us brown coats.
And not only that, it's very rare product, I have to add.
I know they're hard to come by.
They are.
I know. Of course, now, the illness in me. See, I was avoiding it because I figured if I avoided this one, then I can avoid the other one that's coming.
The disguised one.
Uh-huh. But now I have to have the disguised one, too. It's just, it's a bad thing you're starting.
Well, you can get that one on your own.
I will.
I'm not doing anything like I had to do to get these.
Ew.
All I'm saying.
All right.
Transfer complete.
Yeah, actually, okay. I found something here, but it's called the Serenity River Triumphant Statue.
That's it.
That's
the
right
legit name, and it's by Diamond Select.
Oh, that's being placed, put out by Diamond Select.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. They do a lot of statuing and whatnot. Well, good. More companies have the license, more product.
Well, now we know that they've had a license.
Well, they're right. They've had
because
it because
they did the action figures.
Right.
Which is a license I hope they lose. With all due respect, because it doesn't look to me like they're going to put any more out.
Right.
Which I think is a mistake.
Well, since we are talking about things that I love, Fantastic, would you do me the honor of queuing up my stinger?
Transformers.
Movie!
Matt's losing his mind.
And there it is.
Well, come on. We haven't had it in a little bit. We can bring it back. You know, Transformers. It's very prominent and important. It's out there. So I heard some silly, ridiculous rumors this week. And they came from a friend who heard them from a source that may or may not have been reliable. But I think they're very much not reliable.
This sounds rock solid.
Yeah, exactly. There was some talk about Scorponok actually being a triple changer. In one of these rumors, where he's going to be Scorponok in his scorpion form, and then whatever his proto form is, and then potentially a helicopter. I think that's a lot of hogwash, because we already have a helicopter Decepticon in the film, Blackout. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I had heard was that Soundwave, was going to be making a minor cameo appearance in the film. As an iPod.
Whoa.
You were going to see an iPod. It was going to have the big Decepticon logo on the back of it. And that was supposed to be him for the second film, because they're saying he's going to be in the second film. So when I first heard that, I was like, well, I could see that. I could see them trying to go that way, right?
So here's my problem with you right now.
What? No, wait. Let me finish what I'm going to say.
No, I got to cut you off.
This is the inner child in him.
No,
exactly. I got to cut you off.
I appreciate
you can see that. You could see that.
Well, with the updates that they're making, it wouldn't make sense for him to be a cassette player.
So if they have to
include him in the film,
product
what's
placement
the most
is huge.
Right.
They could have an iPod engraved on the back with the Decepticon logo.
I mean, look, I don't agree with it, but if you have to put him in the film, how are you going to put him in there as a device? But let me say something. Okay. I don't think that it's going to happen.
All right.
If it was, I could see where it's going. This is where I think that rumor stemmed from. There's a product that's coming out. And I know Mr. Fantastic has seen the image of this at the very least. It is an iPod docking station that is a Transformer. It looks like it looks kind of like Prime insofar as it's an 18-wheeler big rig, and the iPod sits in the back of it, and it's got little speakers on the side, and if you take the iPod out, it does actually transform. So I think that maybe with that product and then the concept behind the iPod, maybe the thoughts got crossed, and that's where that rumor came from. But I don't think you're actually going to see that in the film. I don't think you're going to see Soundwave in there
at all. Well, thank God. I can see that. Can you?
Well, how else could you imagine him being in the film?
I can't imagine him being in the
film.
Okay,
but they've already said he's going to be in the second film, so they have to figure it out somehow. So what's the modern translation of a cassette player?
It's not just that he's a cassette player. He was a boombox.
Right. I understand that, but boomboxes are virtually non-existent at this point.
And so are cassettes.
Right.
So therefore, what sense does it make to even translate him to film?
Whether or not it makes sense, they've said they're going to do it. So how are they going to do it?
There are still ambulances. There are still fighter jets.
I'm not arguing that point with you. The point I'm arguing is if they have already announced he's going to be in the film and they have to translate him. Let's say there is no choice. They have to decide to translate him. What's the current form of a boombox?
Why is there no choice?
Can we bet right now?
You want to bet?
I want to bet.
All right, what do you want to bet?
Nothing crazy. I want to bet like nothing crazy.
I bet you shave your head.
I will shave my head. I say that he is in the movie in some incarnation. You said that they're not going to put him in.
In the first movie?
Yeah.
You think he's in the movie in some incarnation?
As some device.
You have to have a mohawk.
I will have a mohawk.
And he has to be identified as both a Transformer and Soundwave.
Negative, because even in the past, for like X-Men, there were X-Men there that they weren't naming, but they put them in. And that's how I believe he's going to be in this movie.
I don't believe that.
If you give me that, I will put a mohawk on the line.
Okay.
And it would be a pretty good mohawk. It would be like a couple inches.
I know. Yeah. You got that fro working.
Poof going here.
You like ready to go out to the disco this weekend, I think, in your white suit.
Wait, what do you do if he's in the movie? We never covered that. You.
I don't do anything.
Shave my head. He's in the movie. Then what happens?
You win.
I can't. I'm not comfortable with you just looking dumb.
You win the honor.
You do
of
that
making
way
me wrong.
Too much for me to have that as a triumph.
Then you should have planned ahead before you went ahead with this bet. You should
what are you
have
talking
checked
about? It's
out
not
all
like you ever got up and shook my hand.
Well, what? There we have no a verbal hand. Agreement. It's on tape.
A verbal agreement is a non-binding agreement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's see if a court of law holds that up or not.
Uh-huh. They're making the movie Grendel into a feature film based on the Matt Wagner character.
Really?
Yep. I don't know much about it other than they're making it into a film. And Matt Wagner, I know, is at least on the production team in some capacity.
One would hope.
Sure. His character, his brainchild. So we'll follow that as more stuff becomes available.
That's very exciting. Grendel is a really good book. If you've never picked it out, you certainly should check it out. I'm sure it's traded.
All the many incarnations
mm-hmm.
of Grendel. Mike Allred is also working on a Mad Men movie.
Ooh, care.
I knew you wouldn't care about that.
I just don't.
Well, he's also, I hear, he's relaunched or relaunching the comic book series.
He is. That's true. I did hear that.
So
you know what? It was very cool and poppy and different in its day. It's just not its day anymore. I think we've moved beyond that into so many different things that I don't see the relevance of it anymore.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess if Mike can find a way to update it or bring it up to snuff, then
Mike's done some great stuff. He did a book. What was that book that he did? The Atomics,
mm-hmm.
which was really cool.
Yeah, I like the Atomics.
He
a lot,
also
actually.
Did Ecstatics for Marvel, which was really cool.
That's a flying pickle character.
What was that guy's name? Goop.
Goop. No, it wasn't Goop. You keep saying Goop.
What was it?
Doop.
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 Yeah. They actually did a Marvel Legends dupe.
I know.
So, I mean, he's done some good stuff. I just don't dig Mad Men anymore. Did I grow out of it or something? I don't even know.
I don't know either.
I have an original Mad Men plush made by Mike Allred's mom.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, his mom used to make Madman plush that he would sell at cons in the way early days.
Right, of Madman.
Madman. I was a fan. I have the Madman action figure that done by Big Blast back in the day.
Wow.
I mean, I was a fan. Yeah. And I just, of late, I just don't, just kind of not doing it for me anymore.
You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the comic project and the film project. Katie Holmes has dropped out of the upcoming Batman sequel, The Dark Knight.
Thank God.
Yep. But they have not killed her character. That character will now be portrayed by, it is rumored will now be portrayed by Rachel McAdams, who you may know from Mean Girls.
From My Dreams.
Right. Mean Girls, The Notebook she was in, Wedding Crashers.
Family Stone.
Yeah.
That one with, she did a, you know what her one of her breakout films was?
What?
That Rob Schneider flick, The Hot Chick.
The Hot Chick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel McAdams also, wasn't she Red Eye?
Yeah, she was Red Eye also.
Red Eye. Uh-huh. And yeah, she's awesome.
Yep.
And she's hot.
Also rumored was that McAdams was offered the role of one Pepper Potts. Turned it down, and then it went to Gwyneth Paltrow in the upcoming Iron Man film.
Well, I'd much rather see her as the character in Batman. Although, really, that character in Batman wasn't really doing anything for me.
Assistant D.A. Rachel Dawes.
And do we know why Mrs. Cruz has dropped out of the flick?
I do not. I know that she is doing another movie, though, that she signed up to do, I believe, with Queen Latifah. But I don't know the premise or what the movie is.
Really?
So,
sure, that one will be exciting.
I heard it was against her religion.
What, Batman?
Well, that was a joke, but there's truth in the joke in that, you know, Tom Cruise is a controlling wacko, so he's probably
Tom Cruise played a blood-sucking vampire.
That was before
he was
gay.
Nutty.
Are you trying to tell me that, like, religion has hard and fast lines that they follow?
No, but playing a district attorney in a Batman movie about fighting crime is against her religion.
No,
but
it's against Tom Cruise's wishes.
Not only that.
Well, that might
be what he says.
He is nutty.
And he is, what they say, the Jesus of that religion.
The Jesus.
Right.
That's what they keep saying.
And last but not least, I've been saving this for you, Kev.
Where's my present?
Filmmaker, I don't have a present for you. Filmmaker Zack Snyder has newly formed a production company with Warner Brothers. This company is the company that he is producing and working and directing Watchmen under.
Really?
So it looks like Watchmen taking another step forward for Zack Snyder.
Well, you know what? If Zack Snyder can handle 300 and a remake of Dawn of the Dead and make those two films some of the coolest films that are out there, I gotta believe that he can do something wonderful with Watchmen.
Sure.
I have to believe it.
Well, I mean, I have faith in the man, so I think he's proven himself.
I'm scared.
I know you're scared. It's a very touchy subject. It's a very precious piece of
comic
book history.
You know, I really, really liked League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the book.
I know.
And that movie wasn't so good.
I know, but you also really liked, you also really liked V.
And that was pretty good.
So,
okay.
Okay.
Good argument.
All right. That's all I have for the news today.
Wow. Then let's take a break because this has been like the longest news segment in months.
Word, I gotta piss.
Matt, they're gonna do it again. New York Comic Con is returning this February.
That's right. February 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Jacob Javits Convention Center, right in the heart of Manhattan.
Did you see the guest list on this thing? Stan the Man Lee.
Excelsior.
Ugh. J. Michael Straczynski and the one and only Kevin Smith.
Ooh.
And the three and only us.
All right.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff, myself, Matt, and Mr. Fantastic will
at his
be in
first
attendance.
Con appearance
That's
ever.
True. His first con appearance ever.
In addition, this year, the New York Comic Con is hosting the 2007 Anime Awards.
In addition to that, Matt, there'll be tons of gaming, comics, toys, displays, special functions, exclusives. I'm sure they're going to have the entire gamut of the convention scene at this amazing convention.
You can go to www.nyccomiccon.com for more information. That's NewYorkComicCon.com.
Hey, it's me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, from the Hall of Fame, WWE. And you're listening to Big Kev's Gig Stuff. He's awesome, baby!
Looks like Matt's having some problems getting his Serenity ornament back in the box.
That's what I thought when I saw the box. Look how big the box is compared to the ornament.
Wait a minute. Fantastic. What? Why are you wielding my piece of kryptonite like a blade?
Why do you even have a sharp shard of green kryptonite near the computer?
He's actually trying to develop another weapon that Michelangelo can use.
And this would be better than a giant green shell grappling hook, that piece of crap.
And kryptonite, not illegal in the UK.
Actually, the reason I have it is in case Superman comes in here and tries to fuck with me.
Oh, I see.
We should introduce our in-studio guest tonight.
A man who needs no introduction.
A man really. Who needs no introduction, yet that is his introduction music playing right now. So, without further ado, he is the beast from the north, the bad mother Canucker.
Hola, amigos.
Hello, sir.
He never sounds like Bad Mother Canucker when he starts out with Spanish.
Hola, amigos.
The Bad Mother Canucker.
Hola, señores.
I'm from north of the border, don't you know?
Bad Mother Canucker here to give us the wrestling news. What's happening, Canucker? Or as I like to call him, the BMC.
Good thing you add the C in there.
BMC, what do you got?
Well, I was going to lead off with the Royal Rumble and stuff, but I guess we'll start with Bam Bam Bigelow, as you may have heard.
Yes, we mentioned it last week on our program.
Oh, right. So he passed away just recently, and of course is important because he's a New Jersey denizen, and he was instrumental in getting a lot of mainstream press for his WrestleMania main event. I believe, I can't remember when it was. I think it was 11.
Okay.
Maybe. It was the one with Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, right, that one, yeah, I remember. Was that the NFL Battle Royal?
No.
Oh, no?
He had a fight. He had a match with Lawrence Taylor.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, wow. Lawrence Taylor kicked his ass.
Nice.
Is there any more word on what caused the death?
I haven't heard anything. I mean, I assume it's, you know, just wear and tear from being a wrestler for all those years. I mean, you know, it happens.
You think so?
Yeah, sure. That's,
well, either way, it's a shame. He's a nice guy. We did mention also, and we'll mention again, he did have several action figures, the most recent of which appeared in Jack's Wrestling Classic Superstars line.
Right.
Which was a great piece and a great line. That's a terrible shame. What else? What other bright and shiny news do you have for
bright
us?
Bright and shiny. Well,
let's hope it's brighter and shinier than that.
In the world of Vince McMahon, the Royal Rumble is done and over.
Yes, and we actually had the pay-per-view here at the studio.
We did.
Yes, we did.
Studio's a multitasker.
It is. It's got the large screen.
So now the road to WrestleMania is pretty much set, at least somewhat, for the main event. Undertaker won the big Royal Rumble match. So now the big surprise is, or the big question is, who is he going to face?
Right.
They teased this, his possibly fighting John Cena for the Raw belt.
Right.
And then on Tuesday, he showed up on ECW teasing that he might fight Bobby Lashley for the ECW belt.
Oh,
Black Lesnar.
Lesnar, that's right. So I'm assuming that he'll show up on SmackDown. So, but from what I've been hearing, Batista and Undertaker is pretty much set in stone for WrestleMania. So you can forget all the...
So he's going to be fighting Batista for the SmackDown title.
I believe so. Okay. I mean, unless things change, and they often do at the whim of Mr. McMahon. So,
right.
Who knows?
What do you think? Is this the time? Is this when he finally loses at WrestleMania?
Yeah, well, we should say for the uninitiated that The Undertaker is undefeated at WrestleMania.
That's right.
What is he, 14-0?
13-0.
13-0.
13. He would be going for number 14. And at this point, consider this. He's never won a Royal Rumble
right.
until this year. And he also entered at number 30, which has never happened before. So I'm thinking this could be the farewell retirement.
The party. Undertaker tour.
This is the gold watch for
right.
him. I say he wins it and possibly retires because at that point he'll have done it all.
He'll remain undefeated at WrestleMania. He'll go out on top.
Right.
It'll be a nice farewell to a man who's been dedicated to the company for a long time.
I'd like to say that another man wanted to go out that way. A young man named Bret Hart.
Yeah, well.
And it didn't really quite go the way that he wanted it to go. Knucker? You think a screw job is being set up here?
No. Undertaker is the company man. I mean, if you heard anything about what goes on backstage, he is pretty much, I mean, aside from Triple H, he's the golden boy. He can do no wrong. He sets the standard. He makes the rules for all the wrestlers beneath him. And believe me, they are all beneath him.
So, does Vince have another daughter?
Well, I would count Shane in that.
I was going to say, maybe Shane's available.
No.
Wowie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I assume but the Batista and Undertaker, it will happen, and Undertaker will retire with the belt. Maybe not at that, not
event.
At WrestleMania, but
right.
at some point.
Shortly thereafter.
The Monday thereafter.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
is a shame. Because,
yeah.
Well, he has been around for 30 years,
and
right?
that's the point. I mean, The Undertaker is so over with the fans, it why give him the belt? Why not keep it on Batista, who needs to be
well, because then,
because like you said, it's the gold watch. I mean, they're trying to give him a respectful go. Batista can get the belt, you know, after The Undertaker retires.
Well, that's the thing.
doesn't it set up kind of one of those things where they could have, ladder, what would you call that? Like a competition, you know, where they all start off with the names all on this side, yeah. and then it slowly builds down until it's only the two guys left. Like Karate Kid. When it boiled down, it was just Ralph Macchio and
Johnny,
that other guy. And only their names were up for the title. What do they call that?
Tournament?
Tournament, that's it. Wow. Holy retarded. Yeah, couldn't that set up some kind of big tournament where they can get a lot of action?
You mean after Undertaker retires?
Yeah, like if he were to retire.
But see, I'm always against stuff like that because you really should beat the champ for it. I mean, that's how it should be done.
Okay.
So, I mean, I look back at WrestleMania 4 with that gigantic, crazy tournament because Hogan didn't want to drop it, you know, and it's a Savage of all people. And it just seemed a little too much for me.
What's the next big pay-per-view after WrestleMania? With so many freaking pay-per-views, I lose track of them at this point.
After WrestleMania?
Yeah, the big one.
Now, is that big?
That is the big one.
Well, after WrestleMania.
There's a handful of big ones a year, right? There's like
WrestleMania
Royal
Survivor
Rumble. Series, Royal Rumble.
SummerSlam is the first one after.
Okay.
And SummerSlam involves both brands, right? As they're called them, the Raw brand.
If ECW's still around, then it'll involve all three.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is maybe the Taker will get the belt at WrestleMania. He'll retain his undefeated thing. They'll build up to some big climactic story. They'll do a retirement match, winner goes home kind of match at SummerSlam, and that's when Undertaker will take his leave and pass on the torch.
I think it's safe to say at this point that there are many possibilities.
Sure.
As to what can happen.
I guess so.
What else you got, Knucker?
Well, in other news, TNA, Total Ooh. Nonstop Action, has a pay-per-view coming up in 2 weeks called...
Rest in Peace, Kurt Angle?
That's it. Oh, that's what I'll be calling it. No, I believe it's either No Surrender or... God, who knows?
All right.
Slammiversary for all I know.
TNA nameless pay-per-view coming up.
February 11th. It's on February 11th.
Right.
If you're into that, check it out. Personally, I've washed my hands of this company. They're crazy.
TNA?
Yeah. It's being headlined by Christian Cage, defending the NWA World Heavyweight Championship against Kurt Angle.
Oh, Christian, kind of that B wrestler from WWE who left to go over there, right?
Well, that's the thing. People who don't necessarily watch TNA are going to look at the main event and go, hey, wait a minute. Aren't these guys from Vinceland? Aren't they just kind of the castaways? And
yeah, where are guys like Samoa Joe?
Ooh.
That guy's great.
Exactly, and that's the problem. They keep signing all these quote-unquote big names from World Wrestling Entertainment, and meanwhile, the guys that busted their butts to make TNA a name are shuffled back down the card and don't get the recognition that they deserve.
So TNA quickly following the same path that WWE is on always, it seems.
Right. Well, it seems like the new WCW.
Yeah.
And you know what happened to them.
Right.
Right. So. Well, that's Jeff Jarrett's daddy's fault, isn't it?
Yeah. It's all Jeff Jarrett now, pretty much. Moving on. Oh, my God. A new wrestling company has just sprouted from the ether.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
From MTV, of all places.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's called Wrestling Society X, or WSX.
Okay.
Which, in MTV speak, should mean we sucks. Right. It's terrible. Oh, my God.
Is it on?
Horrible.
Is it actually on MTV?
It's on MTV.
I have not heard of this.
Neither have I.
Yeah. It debuted... Well, technically, it debuted last week. I think it was on Thursday, but they showed the premiere show, which is essentially the same show, on Tuesday night.
Okay.
On Tuesday night at 10:30, in fact, up against ECW.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
That's brave.
Well, I don't know if it's brave. I mean, ECW's on its last legs at this point.
Right.
Anyway. But WSX is essentially a lot of indie guys. It's set in this... underground, I don't even know what you'd call it. It looks
Fight
like a,
club?
Yeah, well, not even. It looks like a boiler room.
Oh, okay.
You know, the mat is it's about the size of this couch that I'm standing in front of.
Right.
And their headliner.
Oh, here it comes.
Oh, their headliner is X-Pac.
Oh! So, waste of flesh-Pac, as I like to call him.
Right.
One night in China.
Ew.
So when X-Pac
Thumb
is
wrestling.
Your big name, I say, you know, don't even bother folding the tent. Just burn it down to the ground.
Yeah, really?
Wow. Is that? Are there any other names over there? Names like X-Pac and
well,
name.
Well, he is. I mean,
sort of. Vampiro,
yeah, he's the guy in that China video.
Vampiro from WCW. He's actually a big wrestler, a big wrestling name in Mexico.
Right.
He's got his name attached to it. A lot of ECW castaways like. Just Incredible.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Those guys.
Yeah, I think New Jack was there for the first episode, but I don't think he's going to be around for the remainder.
So this is kind of the riffraff of the riffraff.
Right, right.
Guys who won't work for TNA or Vince.
Guys who pretty much burned their bridges with everybody.
Ah.
In fact, here's a name that you won't know, but the connections are pretty big. Mm-hmm. The guy named Teddy Hart.
Okay.
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 He is the son of Georgia Hart, one of the famous Hart family.
Right.
And the guy's a tremendous talent. He's a little small, but what this guy can do is amazing.
Right.
Except the guy's got a major attitude problem. Pretty much burned his bridges with every wrestling company on the face of this earth.
Wow.
Jesus.
So
he ends up at We Sucks Wrestling?
The thing, though, is that the big rumor is that Vince will probably just sign him up anyway, just for name alone.
Right.
Because get this, there will be a new Hart Foundation.
Who's it going to include?
Yes. Well, it's pretty much all the third generation guys.
Yeah.
I'll try to name them all. Harry Smith, the son of the late Davey Boy Smith.
Right.
Okay. Now, do we know who... Now, is he wrestling now?
He's wrestling in either Ohio Valley Wrestling or Deep South Wrestling. Those are the two... training grounds for the WWE.
Right, the Bush League.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Just before they call him up,
right.
You know, they kind of season him.
Okay.
Natty Neidhart, who is the daughter of Jim Neidhart. She's kind of a big, burly girl.
She'd have to be,
like
wouldn't
Jim.
She?
Yeah, she's got his face, so it's kind of a strike against her.
The anvil. She looks like one.
Hair, so she's got that.
Okay.
Supposedly, T.J. Wilson, he was also trained by the Harts. He's not part of the Hart family, but
right.
He is dating Natty Neidhart.
Right, so he would be kind of the Brian Pillman.
of the group,
so to speak. And if they could get Teddy Hart and rein him in, it could get interesting.
The New Hart Foundation.
So
is, very exciting.
I mean, is Vince responding at all to WSX and TNA? I mean, for a while, right? WWE really was all we had. And whether or not TNA and WSX sucks,
we don't have them.
Terrible. No, but even if they're terrible, though, they're out there.
Right.
Right. And so, from a business standpoint, which we know Vince is, he's got to at least consider the fact that there are people that are trying to compete on some small level, whatever level that is. I mean, has he openly responded or said anything about these companies?
Well, in terms of we sucks, probably not, because they're okay. So new. And
right.
He's probably going to fold really quickly.
He's got to also be feeling the pressure from up-and-coming organizations like, well, not that it's up-and-coming, but like Ultimate Fighting, UFC.
Right. Well, that's the big thing. His main competitor is not TNA. It's actually UFC.
It's UFC.
Right.
Their pay-per-views are bringing in a lot more money. A lot more.
And right.
As their Spike TV shows get more popular, I mean, that's huge.
Right.
In fact, there were rumors that ECW was going to be turned into more of a shoot fighting mixed martial arts type, where they try to get actually more mixed martial arts wrestlers in there. But
kind of like the boxing thing they did years ago.
Right.
Whatever that was. What was that called?
Oh, Brawl for All.
Brawl for All.
What a mistake that was.
Ew.
And didn't the dude who won, wasn't he like Bart Gunn?
Bart Gunn.
And didn't he get plastered by Butterbean?
He did. Oh. But you know what? He ended up making a lucrative career in Japan because of it.
Really?
He's huge over there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, that was a mistake because that ended up legitimately injuring a lot of guys left and right.
Well, sure. They're not used to that kind of style, that kind of...
real fighting?
Realism.
Right. Hey, man. This is wrestling.
Stop it. Stop it. That's not real. But getting back to Vince and his competition, in terms of TNA, the company in and of itself isn't really the competition, but he's holding back wrestlers from going there. Like, I'll give you an example. Rob Van Dam has pretty much burned his bridge with the company, but they're looking to re-sign him very soon, only so that he won't go over to TNA. They hate him. And he probably hates them.
But is it because of the pot? He doesn't have to sign. He doesn't have to renew, right?
He doesn't.
Is it because of the pot?
It's because of a lot of things. It's politics. It's certain people don't like him. You know, I won't name names. Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Helmsley.
You know what? In his best interest, though, even if the paycheck from WWE is very, very nice, it probably would be better for him to explore his other options. I mean, he's a talent that's wasted in the WWE.
And in fact, on one of the TNA shows, they teased his name out to the crowd.
Yeah.
And they, for the rest of the show, they were chanting his name.
Chanting his name.
So you can imagine what kind of impact, no pun intended,
right,
that would make on the show. But guys like him and... I don't know. They're trying to keep guys from going over to the competition.
Well, look,
so in that sense,
he is responding. Sure.
Right.
Well,
not in that good way.
Well, that's great. Bad Mother Knucker, can you, do you have anything to wrap up with? Got any final statements before we wrap the segment here?
The only statement I have is that, something I read on the internet a while ago, and I think it bodes true. Let me see if I have it right. In Mexico, they consider wrestling a religion. In Canada, it's considered a sport. In Japan, it's a culture. But in America, it's a joke. And
wow.
I don't know. I laugh pretty hard.
I laugh once a month.
Every time you watch the pay-per-views, I'm laughing.
It's a shame, we do, too.
But you know what? It should be said that we always have a good time.
Right.
Watching those pay-per-views. Pro wrestling, we've all grown up with professional wrestling. Even if you're not into it now, at some point you probably were. You probably were a Hulkamaniac at some point. God help us. And it's still a viable franchise. It's still a viable form of entertainment. They have, of course, very successful and very great lines of action figures, we should say, coming from Jax. And on a lesser note, Toy Biz with the TNA pieces. And it's pro wrestling. We're always glad when the bad mother Canucker can drop by to give us the lowdown. Thanks for coming by, Canucker.
Always a pleasure.
Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios. Matt, in addition to all the great features already available on the home site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, we have now created a forum so that fans of this show can listen and interact with each other.
Some of the forums include discussions about individual episodes, toys and action figures, comic books, TVs and movies, and other random bits of goodness that you may find online.
The fans of Geek Stuff can now interact with each other, talk about episodes, talk about things that we're discussing on the show, get their own opinions out there. Yeah. Now fans will be able to drop their show ideas right on the forum.
So check out the Geek Stuff forums by going to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and clicking on the forums link.
Yeah, let them fight amongst themselves. We got enough stuff to do.
And we're back with Geek Stuff episode 44, Vincible.
We call it the epic saga of Vincible. This is a complete episode here.
It is true. And we're going to get to the namesake of the episode.
We are right now.
This would be Marvel's latest animated feature direct-to-DVD release, the Invincible
Iron Man.
Yeah, and no.
Exactly.
So we checked it out.
We watched it, begrudgingly and, so after a little bit.
Not really what you would call good.
Visually, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I thought that Iron Man himself looked good, although, and they showed several different suits of armor. I actually liked the original armor the best.
Right, and the big clunky gray armor.
Right. It wasn't the traditional clunky gray armor, but it was a play on the traditional clunky gray armor.
It should be said that by me that I do agree with you in the aspect of visually it looked good, but I want to qualify that.
Okay.
It visually looked good when the CGI parts were happening.
Right. Well, the CGI parts are pretty much anytime you saw Iron Man
was
as
CGI.
Iron Man. And the Elementals,
the
Mandarin's
four elementals,
were
right.
All CGI. And I think Mandarin himself was CGI there towards the end as well.
Was he?
I believe so.
I don't know.
The rest of the animation...
And the dragon.
Oh, right, right.
Which did look pretty good.
The rest of the animation was... It was a little flat.
Right.
But I think the problem was that there was a huge seam between the CGI and the not CGI.
Right.
If it was all flat or if it was all CGI, it wouldn't have been so bad. But because of this huge seam, this huge discrepancy, it was visually baffling at times.
There is a stark contrast between the two styles.
Yeah.
Stark.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Well played, fantastic.
What?
That being said, the storyline was atrocious.
Yeah, not really what you'd call good.
It was boring.
Basically what it is Tony Stark is a rich dude. Stark Enterprises is a company that apparently is being run by his father.
His daddy.
And the executive board or right. whatever. Tony has got some project in China to raise the Mandarin's castle or something like that.
Right.
Where he unwillingly unleashes...
Mandarin.
Well, the elementals, at least.
Right.
To try to find the rings of the Mandarin to bring the Mandarin back. It's kind of hokey.
Yes.
And dumb. And so... From a story perspective, I mean, it really kind of stretches. It's how many minutes is it? It's 83
minutes. It's 83
minutes. There's a good 20 minutes in there that really is kind of.
It felt like 183.
Yeah, it really is kind of ugh. I think what you're going to want this DVD for is not really the story, though. It's going to be those visuals of Iron Man fighting. With these elemental guys who are pretty cool looking also. He fights a big dragon. CGI is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
From that aspect, it's pretty good.
Sure.
There were a couple of outstanding, terrible things in it, though.
Right.
For one, they didn't call Mandarin Mandarin. They called him Mandarin. Like tangerine,
right?
But mandarin,
it's a special kind of fruit.
Mandarin.
Yeah, but it's not Mexico. So I don't understand why they would do that.
I don't know either.
Which was really just a strange thing,
right?
The whole Tony and his dad and this sort of biz didn't make any sense to me either.
Well, I think what they were doing was. And it's similar to the Ultimate Avengers DVDs that they've put out. They're kind of...
Which stunk, it should be said.
Right. Well, yeah. The first one was all right. The second one was...
Were they better or worse than this, real quick?
The first one was better than this.
I would say the first one's probably better.
Second one was probably on par with this.
Okay.
Or garbage, if you like.
Well, these DVDs are yet another revisioning of these classic Marvel characters.
Right.
Okay, Ultimate Avengers, not the Ultimates, not the Avengers.
Weird. Just, which is a weird name to give them. Okay.
Right. The Invincible Iron Man, not Ultimate Iron Man, not really traditional Iron Man. It's a revisioning. That being said, the idea of Tony Stark being this young up-and-comer in Stark Industries and his father being at the head of the table, that doesn't bother me. It is a feasible plot point. However, it was kind of just there. Like, it wasn't explained and it wasn't really explored and it really just kind of seemed too convenient and wasted.
I think they just should have eliminated it altogether because most of the scenes in it already dragged. And yeah, the plot was weak, but even when you have an action intense show like this, you can deal with a weak plot by doing some really cool scenes throughout. And they didn't do that. I watched with you guys for like 50 of the 80 some odd minutes, right?
Yeah.
And there came a point I was like, is this almost over? Because I haven't seen Iron Man at all.
That was 3 minutes into his watching it.
It felt like that was a half an hour.
Yeah.
I was like, God, this is a kid's thing?
That's the other point.
That brings up another good point
we're going to bring up is this was rated PG-13.
I know, I'm a genius.
It was. You are.
Yeah.
PG-13 and obviously intended for children over 13 who really at that point are really not children.
Right. Thank
God. So why then would they not simply do the Ultimate Iron Man story?
Here's my problem. They showed the Ultimate Iron Man armor.
Well, you're getting ahead now.
Sorry.
Why would they not just do the Ultimate Iron Man story? Like, why is it that they have to... Here's my problem with Marvel. It's like every time they want to branch out and do something, they have to reinvent the wheel every single time.
Help me out here. Okay. I'm familiar with the Ultimates and Iron Man in the Ultimates.
Right.
But I'm not familiar with Ultimate Iron Man. How does that play
guy.
In? Does it play in? But I opened the book and I saw a kid and some blue gunk and all this like stuff. So... That's the kid when he's young, and he eventually grows up to be Tony Stark in the Ultimates? Is that true?
Here we go. Fantastic homework assignment for you.
But it would be so much better if you just told me.
I know it would. Homework assignment for you. I could do all your work. I could do all your work, Fantastic. I could explain everything in the world to you. And would you learn anything by me doing that?
You better watch out or you're going to end up doing my work too.
Uh-oh. Oh, we got to go. This is the road we got to go down.
No, we are staying away from this road.
Homework assignment for Mr. Fantastic. Who is Ultimate Iron Man? There you go.
All right.
This worked out really well with the ISIS thing.
Okay, this is not Ultimate Iron Man. That's what you need to
right.
know.
Right, and this is the point I was making about that. Why reinvent the wheel again?
Right.
You know, you have Iron Man, you have Ultimate Iron Man, and now you have this Iron Man.
Right. Well, and the weird part about it is the entire theory behind the Ultimate Universe, the Ultimate Avengers or the Ultimates, Ultimate Iron Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, etc. ad nauseum, was that they were taking the characters, bringing them up to snuff, and reintroducing them to a young audience. Right?
Right.
So now you've reintroduced these characters to a young audience in the form of your longstanding comic books now.
Right.
Why not translate that? Why reintroduce them again?
Exactly.
A kid that has been reading Ultimate Iron Man, and that's the Iron Man that he knows, is going to see this and is going to be like, this is shit. Much the same way that I feel it is shit having read Iron Man from the old Marvel days.
Which is, again, the same criticism that can be said of the two Ultimate Avengers films as well.
Right. It just seems, and it's a shame because I think that Marvel has stumbled upon a very lucrative concept. These animated features, I think, are a great idea if they're handled properly, but it just seems like they just don't know how to take a good thing and let it be good.
All of the criticism of those Ultimate Avengers were, why didn't you just do the Ultimates?
Exactly.
And the same criticism will follow through to Iron Man. Why not just do Ultimate Iron Man? The Ultimates was not a book that was it was a book intended for new readers.
Right.
Which I'm going to go ahead and say are in the 13-year-old range.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And if that book is intended for 13-year-old readers, why couldn't they do a PG-13 version of that story and call it Ultimate Avengers?
Right.
Or the Ultimates.
Right.
And the same for Iron Man. Why is it that they had to reinvent the wheel again, and poorly, I might add?
I do not know.
Let's say that there was they were covering their ass a little here also, because if, God forbid, they actually do future versions of Iron Man animated films, they did show the scene where Tony goes into the vault, if right. you will, and they show rows and rows of different Iron Man armors.
Right.
All of the ones we've come to hate over the years, including the Hulkbuster armor.
Right.
And
War Machine.
War Machine. And for some ungodly known reason, the Ultimate Iron Man armor.
I don't hate the Ultimate armor, but even I say, what the hell is it doing there?
Exactly.
It didn't belong.
It doesn't make sense.
And they actually make use of, in the movie, the underwater armor, which is essentially a bigger armor suit where he's still wearing the Iron Man helmet with a dome over the top of it. And in the movie, it cracks and starts filling up with water. Iron Man can't make a sealed suit made of iron. He has to have a glass bubble over his head, which cracks.
Oh, that was something else I found kind of disturbing in this. Iron Man, through his helmet in all of the iron suits, you could actually see his facial features under the suit. The Iron Man that I'm kind of familiar with and that I've known, you don't see Tony Stark's eyes behind the Iron Man helmet. Well, you see those glowy,
right,
shielded, I'm in a helmet eyes.
But even when they draw him, there's always that slight bit of emotion that sneaks into the what should be inanimate face.
Right. Right.
You
but,
see a slightly bent mouth,
but
or
you know
the,
what though?
Or the eyebrows crinkling.
But I kind of write that up to a certain amount of suspension of disbelief, because that happens with any masked character. I mean, Spider-Man, you know, you can read emotion on Spider-Man's face.
Well, Spider-Man's always wearing a skin-tight cloth thing on his
but,
head.
But even his eyes, right, which are giant, white, bulbous like latex eyes.
Right.
I mean, the position of them will change slightly and they will kind of contour. I mean, you could see emotion in them.
When he gets angry, they're all squinty. Yeah.
So, but the Iron Man armor, I mean, it just seemed silly to see Tony Stark's eyes behind it. It almost made the armor vulnerable.
Sometimes when they show it close up, though, like you can see that it's just kind of a slit.
Yeah.
Like, at least in the old days. I don't know about much about now.
So, I don't know. It was a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a little disturbing. Also, the fact that you have the armor, which is CGI, when they animate the armor, yet when they remove the mask and you have Tony's face in the mask, that's regular animation. So at that one point, we saw he's wearing the old armor and he's moving his head around, but the armor isn't moving, but the inside of his face is moving around.
It looked like, you know, when you get the egg with the jelly goop in it out of the like 25 or 50 cent machine?
Yeah, yeah.
It looked like his head would be represented by the goop, and the goop is moving as he's making like motion.
It was kind of like Jambi from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, it was really kind of disjointed and jarring.
It happened and we all looked at each other and were like, huh? What the hell was that?
I have to say, though, that old armor, the original suit or the gray suit,
right,
whatever you like to call it, was really well done.
I liked it a lot, actually.
I mean, I think it might have even had that little antenna on the shoulder, which is something. They also did, it should be said also that I guess they are using this as, again, sort of an origin story because they do the whole heart thing.
Oh, yeah.
But they do
they do enough.
As a matter of fact, rather than it being the basis of the Iron Man suit, because the whole basis of Tony Stark being Iron Man was he had this heart thing and whatever the situation was, and he needed to wear this suit to stay alive and so on and so on and so on. Although they do make that allusion to he had some kind of heart problem and they put some kind of heart thing in him in this, it's not the reason for him wearing the suit.
Right. And I was very excited at first because they kind of had him in this iron lung thing where you could see the heart. And then he develops the first suit. And while he's out of the first suit, you can actually see what looks like it is now a permanent structure affixed to his chest, keeping the heart in place while he's not wearing the suit. And at first I thought it was kind of interesting, but then it morphed into just badness all over the place because it fell out of the story and it no longer played any role.
And they never mentioned it.
It just doesn't get addressed any longer.
Right.
And it is such an important part of at least the beginning parts of Iron Man. Granted, even in the book in later years, Tony Stark's heart condition is the least of his problems. The alcohol is the problem.
Right.
But
yes, there is that.
But you know, I mean, it just completely falls out, and it falls out almost unmentioned. It's just, it's there in 1 minute, and then it's not there the next.
Something similar like that, for me, that happens is the character of Mandarin,
Mandarin.
We're going to spoil this, Mandarin makes an appearance.
Sort of.
Sort of.
But it's not him.
I don't get it. It's like his ethereal soul wrapped around someone else. And it appears kind of as like this smoky, mist, capey thing.
Right.
And he kind of speaks every once in a while.
And they actually show him fighting the Mandarin on the box.
But as someone who doesn't have knowledge of Mandarin and a real, you know, Marvel Universe backstory, knowledge of that, I wanted to see it. I wanted to be like, what's this guy all about? And it was just, you know, 4 minutes of smoke, basically.
My guess is that
or the girl wrapped in smoke. Yeah.
A half-naked girl wrapped in smoke.
She was all naked, sir. She was all naked. They didn't show anything, really.
Well, she was wearing smoke pants.
That's right. Smoke pants.
My guess is that
smoke top.
Yeah, smoke everything.
Smoke dress.
Smoke dress. My guess is that they're saving it for a sequel. But it was very unfulfilling, especially because even though he is fighting Mandarin's ethereal presence or whatever you want to call
whatever it is.
He doesn't defeat Mandarin.
No.
He doesn't even defeat the ethereal presence. The chick ends up doing it.
Yes.
He's like, I know you're in there. And most of the time when they do that in movies, there's like some kind of flashback scene or some kind of trigger word or memory that the one character says to the other. In this, she just says one thing. I know you're in there.
He just turns to her and says, you know, I sense the good in you, Mandarin chick girl. And she turns to him and goes, it's too late for me, Iron Man.
And that would have been better, to be honest.
That's what it is.
So she instantly turns around and is like, oh, right, I'm not really smoky Mandarin right. wrapped around me. I'm the girl.
Yeah, it was really just lame.
Li Mei.
Yeah, it's Lei Mai, Lei Mei,
Mi Chang. I don't know.
Something from the Jade Rebellion. Yeah, I don't know. But needless to say, if you can get it on sale
or free,
steal it. It is at least worth checking out. I mean, just visually, again, it's worth it. But I'd probably like put it on with maybe some music playing, and you're kind of watching it while you're doing something else, and every now and again you peek up and you're like, wow, that looks pretty badass. Because really the story does nothing, for me at least. It did nothing. It was a poorly drawn together device to show Iron Man in different shitty iron armor.
Nice box art, though. I like the box art.
You know what?
On the back, too.
The box art, probably the best Iron Man you'll see in the entire film, and it's done by our best friend at Marvel, Joe Q.
Did he really do that?
He did.
I like it. Wow.
It is. You know what?
Guess he had time to do that, huh?
You know what? Joe Q, as an artist, always I always actually really enjoyed his artwork. I thought he was a very good artist
except Daredevil Father, which he ripped off from Frank Miller. But anyway.
I always liked Joe Q's artwork, and his rendition of Iron Man is appropriate for perhaps the latest issue of the comic book, but not appropriate for this drivel of a DVD.
Yeah, I'm really upset. But I have to say again, I think if you can pick it up used or free
or you know someone that was unfortunate enough to buy it.
I think the battle sequences when he's fighting these four elemental Chinese elementals or the dragon is really it's worth it for just those to see the CGI combat is really worth it. I think what they need to do is to do the entire thing CGI, for one, would be a big help. And two, to stop trying to reinvent the wheel. Why not just do the Ultimate Iron Man story? Why not just do the Ultimates?
You know that it works already. So why, you know, fix it?
I don't get it. So that's the Invincible Iron Man animated Marvel feature. It's out on DVD now. It's your choice what you do with it, I guess. For me, it's going to get filed for me.
Right.
And we'll be right back with the wrap-up. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With potshots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow with your little...
Why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
You have an opinion.
It's not an opinion piece, it's a... ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Well, he was obviously younger because he had the thinner mustache.
Oh, right.
And his dad had the thicker mustache, almost to the nose.
That 5 o'clock shadow.
I thought he kind of looked like Errol Flynn.
Actually, what he looked like is he looked kind of like Timothy Dalton in The Rocketeer. What the fuck is wrong with you guys? The fucking Rocketeer!
So on tonight's episode, we discuss that hobbits actually do exist.
Yes, some hobbit skull has been found. And, you know, this kind of really brings the Lord of the Rings to life for me.
I'm just fascinated by the fact that they're talking about it and referring to it as hobbit, and everybody knows what it is.
Of course.
It really says something about
international.
Those movies. Sure. Looks like there's going to be a new movie based on the very popular Ghost in the Shell animated film and comic book series that's coming out. Which, you know, I don't particularly care too much about, although I did like the original product, so we'll have to say.
And my comment is, eh.
But sticking in the realm of animated features, we do have the upcoming early March new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, or what were they called in the UK, Mr. Fantastic?
Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles.
Right. So we gave away some plot information, Raph's alter ego. And Mike doesn't use nunchucks.
We also talked about next week being an exciting day for DVD releases. The first Hellboy animated feature, Sword of Storms, coming out on DVD next week, February 6th. As well as The Amazing Screw-On Head, both from creator Mike Mignola, and you should check those out.
We also mentioned that 300, also coming out in a few weeks, is going to be shown on the big screen IMAX, which I feel, and I know Kev agrees with me, not really a great choice, perhaps.
I just don't get it. I mean, you're losing more of the film in order to have 30 stories tall of it. If it was as wide as it was tall, I mean, if it had an aspect ratio, I think it would be much more worth it.
Right. We also had some toy news. Looks like McFarlane has picked up a license to do some figures and dioramas based on The Grinch, the animated feature, the classic animated feature by Dr. Seuss. So.
We also opened the news tonight with a story of young Daniel Radcliffe, who you might know as Harry Potter from the feature films, in the revival of Equus in London, which requires him to be fully naked.
That's right.
And that opens February 27th in London, and it's very exciting for Harry Potter fans, I suppose, because you know those that somebody's going to get a picture.
I'm sure it'll be on the internet.
And
the wand.
And that's what's going to happen there, I'm telling you.
That's right.
All I'm hoping is now that I hope that some of the other cast members, and particularly Hermione Granger, look at this as an opportunity for them to do some nudity. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying this could open doors for these guys. These guys are going to be a little pigeonholed after this, and I think Daniel Radcliffe is trying to do his best to make sure that he's not typecast as the Harry Potter for the rest of his days. And I think Miss Emma Watson should take note of that for her own career.
Well, I just hope that Harry keeps his Patronus summoning to the Harry Potter films. That's all I'm saying. Looks like Mezco is going to be putting out a figure line based on Underdog. It's going to be based on the original animated series, even though we know that Disney is going to be doing a live-action series coming out sometime this year or early next year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. Diamond Select is doing a Marvel Milestones Zombie Spider-Man and Mary Jane statue. I happen to like the statue. I think it's a very nice-looking piece. Kevin thinks it's ridiculous.
I think the whole Marvel zombie thing is ridiculous. Like, that's yet another Marvel universe.
Okay.
They can't even control the ones that they have. They can't even do decent products from the ones that they have. Now they're going to start with this.
Okay.
I just don't get it.
Diamond Select also announced an exclusive for New York Comic Con. It would be the Star Trek Nemesis Geordi LaForge action figure.
Now that does sound like a nice piece. That's Geordi with the eyes from the last feature film, and that is a good exclusive for them to have. You know, at San Diego last year, they had like 5 Star Trek
right.
exclusives, and if you got them all, then you got the 6th one. I think I have the numbers right. I think it was 4 or 5, and then you got either 5 or 6. You got the Marlena Moreau
right.
Figure, as I recall, and that was a very good deal. And I hope they keep it up with these Star Trek pieces.
The just so you know, the piece will be limited to 1,701.
Ooh, just like the serial number of the Enterprise.
There you go.
Not that you would know that because you've never watched Star Trek, which we are going to cure this summer.
Right. We had some Transformers news, sort of. There were a couple of rumors floating out around there. I don't necessarily believe them, although I suppose it's very possible. But really, if you're interested in Transformers and you do own an iPod, it may be worth it to check out the iPod Transformer dock that's coming out. I believe we have a picture of it up on the website. And they're still working on making a Grendel film and a Mad Men film.
Right. And we then sashayed into our wrestling update segment with the Bad Mother Canucker.
We did.
Who informed us of everything that's going on in the industry. And we're still digging the industry. Still entertaining to us. It's not a lifestyle, but it is fun to watch with your friends.
Sure is. From there, we went into the review of the Invincible Iron Man, the latest direct-to-DVD Marvel animated feature, and it looked pretty, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna qualify that by saying the CG portions of it, the elementals and the actual Iron Man fighting in the armor and the dragon, the CG portions of it were very good.
Very good.
Everything else, kind of bland, kind of X-Men circa early 90s style animation. Even a little bit more stringy and stylized and flat than that. I really just didn't dig it at all.
Again, I think there was a seam issue. They just didn't work well together, the CGI and the flat animation.
Why reinvent the wheel, Marvel? You have a perfectly good Iron Man story, which would have done well by animation. It's called Ultimate Iron Man. Why reinvent the wheel? Why?
I have a question, guys.
I have an answer.
Maybe you guys can help me out here. In England,
mm-hmm.
the Nintendo Wii comes out,
right?
And the left side of the controller is called the nunchuck. So what do they do? They're not allowed to play Wii bowling with cute little Miis?
I don't know.
No, I guess.
No Wii tennis? Well, that doesn't use the nunchuck. No Wii boxing.
Actually, I actually researched this after you got so upset during one of the breaks. I actually thought about that, and I looked it up. And as it turns out, Mr. Fantastic?
Yes.
It's actually now called the Wii grappling hook.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Tony Stark makes you feel he's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
As Iron Man, all jets ablaze, he's light and slight with repulsor rays. A blazing armor,
as Iron Man,
a blazing bomber.